Are you wondering how you can contribute to Funniest Thing?
Don't flip out. Go to patreon.com/funniest thing.
Whoa!
Oh!
I landed that.
Oh!
That would have been crazy.
This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga.
Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
Yes.
Where each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
Oh, yes it does.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from Chobo Studios in
beautiful downtown Van Nuys.
You may notice we're talking a little bit faster on this episode.
It's not that your app is 1.5 or 1.25 or whatever.
No, we're just trying to cram every bit of spiritual information that can lift you out of any worries. Oh, that's the cut sign.
All right, now we're on to the next segment. Today's show is called Stay Out of the Mob with Johnny Franzese and Joel Freeman. The best and quickest way to affluence is to stay out of the mob consciousness.
Yes.
We all know mob consciousness. It's when we follow the mob. Getting out of the mob consciousness is not as easy as it seems.
No, it's not.
Recently, metaphysical teacher, minister from Unity of Santa Barbara, Kathy Norman, shared, I was thinking to myself, I'm so glad that I don't belong to any mob consciousness. They're so divisive. They're so ridiculous. And they live in the idea of us versus them. And then my higher self helped me to see that by not liking them and harshly judging them, I was becoming one of them. Jesus' example is the best method to stay out of the fear-based thoughts of the mob. Why don't you say the real quote?
The real quote is, what is that to thee? You follow me.
That's right. That's a nice little jingle. I wrote, what does it matter to you what others are doing? You follow me. Either way, on this episode, Daryl and Ed encourage listeners to forget the urge to jump on the bandwagon and stay true to your mission to express love. And during the second segment, jolly Johnny Franzese and God-willing judicious Joel Freeman share the benefits of staying out of the mob with today's reading, God's Loving Care.
Yes.
Hey, quick thanks to the Patreon folks who've been supporting the show, tuning in on Tuesdays or listening later to the 4 p.m. Zoom. It's been a fantastic, it's been the best thing for me to have that time to check in. And we were on fire this week, so check that out. If you haven't jumped on the Patreon, you can choose your as much or as little as you want to jump in on, but then there's some presets and it's easy to do, and circulating our good is a big part of living this way. So if you're inspired and you find a lot of value out of this show as much as we do, then jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/funniestthing. Thank you to Jeff Comfort. He's out there in
Kansas City, Kansas.
He apologized this week. He had a lot on his plate, so last week's episode didn't get out until, I think, Friday. But whatever. We love him anyway.
That's right.
You each week.
He takes us
right into the comfort zone. Yeah. Thank you to, what's his name over there? Indy. Excuse me. We're going too fast.
That'd be Indy. Me. Yeah.
How are you today, sir?
Doing great.
Speed it up, Indy. Come on.
Great.
Why would I have to?
Because we're on a limited time.
We're on divine timing here.
We're on divine timing here in the studio. All right, let's do this. Let's thank our listeners who sent these postcards to the Funniest Thing, P.O. Box 1312, Culver City, California, 90232. One of them is from Wayne and Karen Bresner. It's a beautiful picture of some sort of big bird.
That's a big bird.
And we'll just call
it's a pterodactyl.
The big old water bird.
It looks like a pterodactyl.
I like to barbecue that baby up. Dear Daryl and Ed, we love your show and have for many years. If ever you are in our neck of the woods, we'd love to see you at Unity of Delray Beach. Sincerely, Wayne and Karen Bresner. Isn't that where Nancy is, Delray?
Yeah, we got to go. Are you allowed to go?
I think this is who we used to think was Vonnie Wayne, but their names are Wayne and Karen Bresner. Yeah, we're going. Let's just call it now. We got a great postcard. It took like a month to arrive, but Lois Conklin, we got the card. It says, a blessing for all. May your day be sprinkled with love, laughter, and all the things that bring you joy. Thank you for spreading joy to all of us. Love hearing the laughter and fun on Funniest Thing. I like the Funniest Thing song Indy was singing. I believe that was on the Will Rubio episode we jammed out in the green room. So he said, do it again. She said, do it again. Love to all, Lois Conklin. Well, thank you for making that card. She always makes these handmade loving cards. If you're on YouTube, you can find our show there, Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed on YouTube, and you can see what we're talking about. Oh, let's just quick shout out to next week's guest, which is the Krabby Mystic, Sister Mary Leah Hill. She's got a new book, Growing in Virtue, One Vice at a Time. Growing in Virtue, One Vice at a Time.
Yes.
We love you, sister. We really appreciate the fact that you always reach out to us and you sent us some copies of your book. Daryl's been reading it. He loves it. I just got mine now, so I will jump into that. But everyone can look forward to hearing from the Krabby Mystic, Sister Mary Leah Hill, on the next episode.
Yes.
So that's amazing.
That's going to be great.
So what do you got? Want to talk about? Yeah, well, how this whole thing came together with Kathy Norman. And
well, this all came together for two reasons.
Yes.
First one, just so you know, we never really know too far in advance what the show topic is going to be.
Correct.
Until the week of the show.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we get inspired by ideas. Mm-hmm. And we just jump on the most inspiring.
Yeah.
One of them all, and that's usually the one that feels the most joyous.
Yeah, once in a while we get topics and titles that jump out and we'll write them on a note. Oftentimes
yeah.
we end up forgetting those. But yeah, it's always what's present. And this is what Eric Butterworth talked about, a lot of like great metaphysicians talk about, just write whatever is present for you. Discuss whatever is present for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make hard work of it.
Not at all.
So going along the don't make hard work of it lines, we knew Johnny was going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, Kathy Norman gave a talk, which you heard a bit in the description, where she talked about staying out of the mob consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's called group conscious. It used to, Carl Jung referred to it as collective consciousness.
Collective, yes.
It was also the early part of the last century referred to as the race consciousness, which has nothing to do with race, folks. It just means humanity as a whole, the overall, you know, third dimensional earth type thinking that we all get into when we run on fear instead of faith and love. So she talked about how difficult it is to stay out of that, especially with social media or the news or. And then even if you're not watching the news or social media, just in general, it's an atmosphere and your mind could pick up on it and start turning mob consciousness against ourselves. Like, oh, you're not good enough, because we start comparing. You know, oh, you're not good enough.
100%,
what's
yeah.
the point? Why bother? Why are you guys even doing this show? Does anyone even listen?
Right.
And we got to remember to pull ourselves out of that. And the quote we keep referring to, I wish I wrote down the actual verse. I don't think I gave that to you.
The Bible verse? I can look that up while you're talking.
Okay. It's where Jesus is talking to one of his disciples, or they're giving us, you know, people are listening to what other people are saying. I think it's when they were condemning, one of the disciples heard them condemning Jesus, maybe. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter, because practicing the things he taught is the only thing that matters. You know, faith without works is dead means faith without applying this stuff is just talk. It doesn't change anything.
You know that that quote, Robbie Leshock was asking me about that recently, where it came from in the Bible. And it was really this teaching that, like, they were saying, you talk about being generous and you talk about this, but when someone really needs something, you'll overlook their needs. Whereas if these rich people come into your shop, and you'll do everything
you can
to try to prove to them, and you'll give them everything, but you'll neglect the people who really need it. And he's like, so he was saying, and that neglect goes to ourselves too. We need to apply to the parts of ourselves.
Yes, the poor parts in my thoughts, those poor thoughts I'm thinking, I need to apply these principles to that. It also can be interpreted as faith, meaning faith without demonstrations is dead.
Yep.
So that means if this, agreed, I got to apply this in my life, see the demonstrations, enjoy the fruits of that, and it reinforces my determination mm-hmm. to pull my thinking out of what the mob is saying or what I perceive is going on around me.
Yeah.
And all this mob consciousness is based on fear. Like a silly thing that I noticed a couple of weeks ago, I was telling Ed in one of the once popular shopping areas.
Well, you were in Santa Monica down the street from my house.
No, I didn't go there.
Oh, this is even worse than I thought, folks. I thought you were there at least.
No, I saw a report.
I had no idea.
This is all mob.
So he's talking about the promenade in Santa Monica. The what is it? 4th Street Promenade. There's a lot of shops.
3rd Street.
3rd Street. Thank you. That's how
it was a tourist destination. It was a go-to spot. It's 3 blocks from the beach.
Yeah.
And it was this beautiful mall and shops and friendly things and
people from all over the world.
World and performers, street performers,
jugglers.
So now,
Russian hypnotists.
Well, now it's no longer like that. And so I saw this report, and it gets in your head. But what gets in your head? Fear. Fear gets in your head. You know, they say the number one thing, if you want to be famous on the internet and social media, anger's the way to go. But what it really means is, meaning something that's going to get someone angry.
Yeah, trigger there, that response.
But listen, folks, reaction. Under my anger is always fear. When I'm driving and I start condemning other drivers, I remember that thing from Course in Miracles. It's like, can't believe I got this in my head. I mean that in a positive way because it gets me every time. Fear condemns, love forgives. Let the guy go ahead of you. It's no big deal.
That's right.
This guy's riding your butt. As soon as there's a break, pull into the other lane and let him go. Yeah. You know? Because
great example, you know, because that's forgiveness, which actually lets us out of it.
Yes.
If I get angry and I'm going to show him that I'm keeping myself in that lane. And I love that. So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So the whole thing is, the point of this whole thing, and Jesus said to the disciple was, who was getting like Fizarro, that's my last name in case you don't know, getting like Fizarro, Dad, I can't believe what happened to the prominent. But why am I doing that? Because fear that my beautiful town that I once enjoyed in these areas that, you know, were positive memories are now turning into the scourge of society.
Right.
And somehow that's going to affect my livelihood. Now, I'm not thinking all this consciously. So when you get angry, it's never really always clear that you're fearful of something. But if you take a little peek, you'll see you're getting fearful. And it was all mob consciousness. So what Jesus's disciple or one of the people talking to Jesus at that time was doing what I was doing, going, oh my God, look at this mess. What's going to become of this place?
Right.
And Jesus said, what is that to thee? You follow me. Meaning, as long as you keep applying these principles, you're going to be the solution for the world. Don't worry about minding it. Don't worry about championing anything. Just stay true to these spiritual laws of faith and love within your own mind, and you'll be part of the solution. And Kathy wrapped up her talk.
Well, let me say this too, what you're saying while you're getting that line, which is, while it feels like it's you become part of the solution by getting angry at things, like you might say, oh, but if I don't get angry, then I'm not doing. But here's the challenge is that a lot of the situations that you're angry about are started by other angry, indignant people.
Yes.
And in order to become part of the solution, we must become receptive, open channels for the solution. And it is not anger. It's through inspiration, love, like a love for everyone involved, and also an awareness of how powerful we are as individuals. Where it's only ever been individuals who transform their consciousness somehow, get out of the mob mentality, and it's happened. People who are that great doctor who was in where is it, Auschwitz or something? He was in a concentration camp.
That wasn't Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl.
I'm just saying it's happened to people in every situation that one might think, well, what about those people? In those situations, and I'm not How do I know I wouldn't become angry or despondent if I was in that situation? I'm not. I'm just saying these principles show up in individuals in every situation who find it within themselves to awaken from the mob victim consciousness and become part of the solution
yes.
instead. And then they're able to love and bless and help ignite that light in the people around them.
Yes, and Kathy wrapped up her talk by saying, the storm will try to enroll you in mob conscious. That means this storm of fear and things you hear in the news.
Yeah, because our the mental environment
yes.
is like a cloud of thoughts.
Yes.
Yes.
And remember what I was saying about anger. The number one way to become popular on social media is anger. But what they're really saying is incite fear. If you can incite fear, if you can share something divisive, something us versus them on any topic,
right.
people are going to fight because the mob mentality is so seductive, but it does nothing good comes out of it. It immediately depletes my energy. I immediately start comparing myself to other people, yeah. other situations, and that'll make you feel bad. But on top of it, I start fearing about how this is going to affect me negatively,
mm-hmm.
because that's what fear does. It starts eroding everything. So, geez, we got to be vigilant, which means awake, and we could say to ourselves, what is that to thee? I follow this stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. And she wrapped it up with this. The storm will try to enroll you in mob consciousness, but don't allow the idea of fear-based opinions to influence you away from being your Christ Buddha self and the kind of world you prefer to live in. Be the example of the kind of world you want to live in. And as Jesus said, you can be in the world, but not of it. And that's the key. And we learned this week from Nancy Norman that Buddha actually shared about the problems in the world in this way. It's so good. Buddha, when he started his awakening, he saw all the suffering in the world.
Oh, I listened to this talk.
Okay, so he grew up mm-hmm. in a very wonderful environment as a young man. But then he went out and he saw all this suffering in the world. And he meditated on this and he realized ignorance of the truth is the cause of suffering. And ignorance.
Wait, this is Nancy?
Yeah, Sharon.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about Kathy. I was there, yes.
Okay. Ignorance of the truth. I'll repeat again. This is what Buddha says. Ignorance of the truth is the cause of suffering. Ignorance is a state of mind. And remember, ignorance is a verb. It means to ignore. And the thing we're ignoring is the fact that what we reap, we sow, period. What we think of is what affects our lives for good or bad. And the solution, this is from Charles Fillmore. I love this verse. This, you could find this if you have the book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. It's in there on page 125. If you have the book Prosperity by Charles Fillmore, it's in there on page 13. And he says this, and this sums it up succinctly, and it's true, because I have experienced this my whole life as far as how this way of thinking and believing works. And he says, put your living words of faith into the omnipresent ethers and you will be prospered though all the banks in the world close their doors. Turn the great energy of your thinking upon ideas of plenty and you will have plenty regardless of what men about you are saying or doing.
Yes.
And that's basically yeah. what Jesus was saying when he says, what is that to thee?
Yeah.
Come on, you follow these principles.
Well, the other truth that we're ignoring is the truth of our own divinity.
Yes.
And reading Raymond Charles Barker, The Power of Decision, and he says, one of the things that I've been affirming from that book is that I am infinite intelligence acting intelligently. I always make the right decision.
That's great.
And the reason I like it, because he's not talking about right or wrong comparatively to anyone else. The right decision in this case is the right recognition of who I am and what I'm capable of doing. So the right decision is choosing and making decisions in favor of the powerful creative being that I am, instead of pretending that I'm a victim or that I have no say in my experience and then projecting it out and blaming other people. I'm choosing. And he says, and this hit me hard. I don't know how it hits anyone else, but he said, if you have trouble making decisions at that moment, you are infantile. You are not a mature human being. Somewhere in your consciousness, you are believing in some symbol of your mother or somewhere else that you're worried you're not going to get it right. And it hit me like Daryl had in the military where that guy told you you're a phony bleep.
Yeah.
That's what it hit me in the chest. Like, that's so true. So what am I going to do? I got to start right now getting better at making decisions. And I've been affirming this. And the affirmation that I think I shared it last week, but it came to me was, when I accept myself, this is the truth that sets me free. Also, when I accept myself, I accept my health, my wealth, and everything else.
Yes. So
when I accept myself, I accept my health, my wealth, and everything else, because my true self recognizes that it was my own error thinking that generated a lot of those conditions. But beyond that, that there's something so much greater that I can be choosing.
Yes.
And I have to just claim it, believe it, and then watch it unfold.
That's yes.
When Jesus says, not I, but the Father that does the work, I show up for it, but God does the work. That's the most, I mean, that's where a lot of people might not want to follow this path. But that is where we go from being sort of followers or listeners of the word to doers of the word. That's where we become mystics. Yeah. Where I recognize that if there is indeed this harmonious God influenced or God created universe, then that means I am also part of it.
Yes.
And that it is working for me. And Charles Moore said, if it doesn't really work in my life, then it's bunk. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, then all of this is bunk.
Yeah.
If I can't prove these teachings, then the whole thing is a waste of time.
But to do it, you have to become your favorite character in your favorite movie.
Yes!
And not just keep watching the movie on the screen. You have to live it and experiencing it in real time. That's where it just blows the doors off of everything we've ever thought.
Well, that's been helping me too. We talked about this on another show. We get to play the role. We get to assign the character we are in the movie.
Right.
And so often when I'm not paying attention, I end up being a character in the movie I don't really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, but we're hardly conscious of it because we get caught up in the mob consciousness. And I'll tell you, we're really susceptible to our frequency lowering into that realm of lower vibration, because it's vibration. You know, the higher vibration, we're in tune with the infinite, and I could feel it. I mean, it could take me from a tired, exhausted mood to feeling wonderful without coffee.
Mm-hmm. And then even more wonderful when you get the coffee.
Yes. And we're susceptible. That's why that crazy acronym, it's probably going to make people go, oh boy, not this. But it's true. When we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that's when we're susceptible to any of this nonsense, like really susceptible.
Yeah.
So we got to catch ourselves and be kind to ourselves when we're affected by hunger. Eat. Anger, we got to forgive. You know, lonely, you can call someone or write someone a postcard. It instantly connects you back to humanity.
And even slowing down to recognize your oneness with all of life.
Yes.
And then reaching, you know, anything you can do.
And if you're tired, you're allowed to take naps in your car, folks.
I do it all the time. I'm a car nap specialist. Call me if you need help getting started.
So just in conclusion here, there's two great readings that are very helpful. This is from a book called A Mini Course for Life by Gerald Jampolsky.
It's available on Amazon. It's really good.
Very good. I started reading this again because one of our listeners, Kathy LaPoff, was listening to our YouTube. We have a YouTube where we read each one of these 18 episodes.
Yes.
It's only a few minutes each YouTube.
Yes.
So if you want that, you can get it there, or you could buy this book. And two things I want to read that help us avoid getting into mob consciousness. One is, do I want to experience peace or do I want to experience conflict? If I want peace, I will be concerned only about giving. If I want conflict, I will be concerned with trying to get something or evaluating why I'm not getting it. Ask yourself the following question about every communication. Is this communication loving to the other person and to myself? And then this one. Only my condemnation injures me. Without condemnation, I can be free of guilt and fear. If I believe that I can hurt others, I must also believe that they can harm me.
Yeah.
Today, I will claim my own freedom by accepting forgiveness from myself and extending it to everyone. As I remind myself, I choose gladly to release myself and everyone I know from the prison of condemnation.
Wow. Wow. This is crazy. Daryl likes to call, I think you call it, my other homie, is lately I've been reading May Roland, Dare to Believe. And I didn't even plan on reading this today, but after our discussion, now it all makes sense. It's one line says, any great work or achievement of ours is started in the quietness of our own being when we let the inspiration of the Christ Spirit within us awaken, arouse, and inspire us. Then this is the part. Faith is never passive. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Do not just listen to me or anyone else. Get busy. Use your ideas. Too many of us excuse ourselves by thinking we do not have enough understanding to apply the ideas we have. Do not delude yourself. Get busy.
Yeah.
And this is a cool little affirmation. She says, if you feel unimportant, you can build up an inner strength, stability, and confidence that you have never felt before. Because confidence is key, by making an affirmation such as the following, which is one of Silent Unity's favorites. I am the radiant, all-wise, all-loving, all-conquering child of God. I rule supreme in all the affairs of mind and body. Infinite wisdom guides me. Divine love prospers me, and I am successful in all that I undertake.
And right before the show, I wrote this down to myself, like inspired by that reading. And this is what Ed was talking about. With making decisions, it's funny how we end up coming up with these same things on the same days, and we don't live together like
Ernie and Bert.
And here it is. Listen to this. Never shrink from expressing yourself. And we're talking about self, the part of us with the capital S.
A true being.
Let your intuitive self guide you. That is your style. You know, artists are always trying to find their style. Yeah. Just let your intuition, and it can go with anything, not just art. Follow your unique and joyful inclinations, and you will be uniquely successful. This is your genius. Genius. And as an affirmation, confident in my intuition, like you were saying, confident that we make the right, I'm a part of infinite intelligence. Confident in my intuition, the God in me, I express my true light, and I am truly blessed by my true expression of love through me. Intuition has my best interests. I release ideas as struggle and jump in with trust.
Yeah, and you know, if you're going to do this, you being the vessel, you have to be willing to forgive yourself entirely for anything and everything you've been holding against yourself and others. I'm talking about you and you. Like, and if we all, Daryl and I included, like, I do it and then I have to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And I realize these old, more judgments have built up. So, all it takes, you don't have to know how to do it. Just sit down and be willing to fully forgive yourself. Try it on. See how it feels and let God do the release, because God's not, we have to remember that God, by principle, never changes from ever increasing good. And just that we forget that.
Yeah.
And then we make up these gods of our own devices. And then our imaginations are so powerful. Like, I read something recently that just said God, our place here is God discovering God's self through us.
Yes.
Like, that's why we're here. So when we rediscover God within us, we are doing our job and amazing things happen naturally. Let's do our three breaths.
Oh, yeah. And then we got to get this show going.
Great.
29 Guru after.
Argent. Argent was the name of this great metaphysical teacher.
It was a group of teachers.
A group of, actually, yeah. Like the early Christians.
They were Argent. You know what? They were known as masters of spiritual psychology.
Masters of spiritual
the
psychology.
Masters of spiritual psychology.
You remember in college when you used to go by, when you were going, getting ready to have a hot date, and you, because you said the word condemnation. Condemnation.
That was the store. Yeah, I'll take two licorice sticks, a couple of razor blades, three condoms. Oh, and some raspberries.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I'd bury it in the middle at condemnation.
Condemnation. All right. So just think about that every time you're condemning someone, you're hanging out at condemnation.
Condemnation.
All right, let's take a deep breath. Ah, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head high,
ah, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa,
hold your head high. I can't control myself, sorry.
Okay. Hold your head up. Whoa. Hold your head up. Whoa. Hold your head up. Whoa. Hold your head high. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, today's guest, Jolly Johnny Franzese and Judicious Joel Freeman, all the way from lovely Ojai, California, by way of Denny's, share the benefits of staying out of the mob with today's reading, God's Loving Care. Thank you for listening to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed from Chobo Studio.
We now return to The Funniest Thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio.
All right, welcome back to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Today's show is called Stay Out of the Mob with Johnny Franzese and Joel Freeman. We are happy to have Joel and Johnny in studio with us. How are you both doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Johnny, how you doing?
Ditto. Doing well.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. We wanted to share with you, Johnny, we had a really funniest thing last week because of one of our listeners, and actually he's been a guest before, a friend in Germany, Kirk Chelson, sent us vinyl of a brand new printing of a vinyl by
1910 Fruit Gum Company.
What was the name of the record again?
Well, no, yeah, that's it. 1910 Fruit
no, that's
Gum
the,
Company.
That's the band.
Oh, it was, oh, goodness, the name of the.
They're all sitting on there smoking.
Yeah. No, it's they're like Indians. Yeah. Indian Giver.
Indian Giver.
That's the name of the album. But all of a sudden, I see the album inside. I go, Buddha Records. I go, you're not going to believe it. This was Johnny Franzese's father's record company.
So you have a personal connection with Buddha Records, right?
Yes, we do. I certainly do. Back from Karma Sutra and SEPTA. There's a couple others. But the owner was also Phil Steinberg, Artie Rip, and Art. And Hi Mizrahi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And wasn't the guy, dad, Tony Mottola, just a...
From what I understand, Tommy Mottola was an employee at that time.
Oh, I see.
And you know who he
was
became?
Was one of the employees.
Yeah. The head of Sony Records.
Head of Sony Records. That's crazy.
Yes.
Well, listen to this. You ready for another weird connection to this album? A friend and fan. This is a girl I went to high school with. Her father was the really sweet minister. Remember? We were sending prayers and stuff. Mary Ellen.
Lavery.
Yes. And her maiden name is Carrie, I think. I hope I'm getting this right. She'll let me know. But here's the thing. Unbelievable. She goes, watching the latest podcast on YouTube, and funniest thing, we're good friends with Frank Jekyll, lead guitar in the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. I've seen the gold records on the wall. And I said, oh, my God, that's amazing. And she wrote, he's the nicest, because I said now Ed and I are listening to all the songs on Apple Music. And she wrote, he's the nicest, most humble guy. When he comes to see Ed's band play, he will never sit in. He doesn't feel good enough. Can you believe it? And she says, they still play live, the band.
Oh, wow.
But isn't it funny? He thinks like we do, you know? He was a pro.
Fantastic stuff.
But can you believe, what are the chances that all of this is connected and the timing from Kirk sending what thought to be
just a random joke, funny record.
But this shows you how intuition, we all get all this reassurance because Kirk had this weird, joyful intuition
to go out of his way
and get that album, not even knowing you were going to be on, and we received it a week before you already said you were going to be on the show this week.
Incredible.
The timing. And then Mary Ellen is, to this day, presently friends with one of the band members.
Unbelievable. That's pretty... Another story, in my basement, my whole life growing up in the 60s, were thousands of records. That record was one of them in there. I think they also sang the song Red Light.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, Red Light.
Okay, that was their biggest hit,
yeah,
I think.
Great song.
But I had come to find out years later that all the records in the basement were all bootleg. Evidently, my father bootlegged from his own company
his records
and made everybody buy those records because you didn't have to pay. You just got
that.
He didn't have to pay to all the
distributor,
label,
promotion. There were no costs involved in that.
So he would sell his own bootlegs to the record stores.
Yes, unbeknownst, I think. Or maybe he cut Phil Steinberg in. I don't know.
That's next level chicanery right there.
Thousands and thousands of them my whole life.
Is an amazing story. I love it even more.
It's true.
Yeah, I love your dad even more for
that.
True.
Man. Yeah.
True. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and you were talking about intuition. That's the way to stay out of the mob because if we go with the mob, we're not listening to our own inner guidance.
Yes.
And that's when we get lost. So you guys have been listening to the show. You've read the description. You guys have had in-depth chats prior to us coming together.
You marched around outside in the Chobe courtyard smoking cigarettes, discussing the topic.
Old NASA style.
That's one mob mentality I'm going to stick with, smoking cigarettes. It's depleting.
Oh, yeah, we did internet research. We hired researchers. Been hours and hours
on this topic.
Tried to get some information from you, but you didn't have the
Johnny taught me. Johnny taught me. When asked for information, what do you say?
Don't give me any. I don't know.
I don't know. You'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, last person to speak loses.
That's what my father used to say.
First person to speak loses.
My father would say, you know, when you go into these sales meetings, just make the offer, and then what? Don't say a word.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, the first person who speaks loses.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I said, all right.
Yeah.
So what do you? What,
so for the next part of the show, we're just going to stare each other in the eyes and see who flinches and says something.
What ideas came to mind when you were hearing this topic?
Well, I'll go first. I think it's everything you guys said and read were really good and really cool. My experience with that is when I was a jock. I became a jock, I thought like a jock, and I acted like a jock, and I lived in a world of only jocks. I didn't know there were human beings in the glee club.
Right.
I didn't know there were people that had lives that were in different cliques.
Right.
As things went on, I joined a lot of different mobs. And in them, they have... I found myself looking back very limited to only seeing the world through that perception or perspective.
Yes.
I don't think it's so easy to just find, like, I think the mob mentality today, I really think if they watch this show, when they'll all agree. But I think here's what'll happen, maybe. When they leave here, they're going to drive down the road and there's going to be traffic, and they're going to walk into the store and think people are in their way, and they're going to need it. I don't mean this badly. I have tattoos. That they're going to be so under anxiety, they're going to say, let me get a tattoo and really express myself, and because that's what people do.
Yeah.
And the bottom line for me, I was always trying to solve the identity problem of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost who I was inside that idea.
Yes.
And I lost the true self of me, and I became part of that mob. And whether it was an angry mob, whether it was a wanted money, pursued money, or romance, or like whatever nature of that mob, or a principle, that's all I saw. And it wasn't the best, it was a necessary experience for me, but it wasn't the best. And it's hard to practice. It's hard to really, a lot of things had to happen for me to even have the awareness to look beyond that, you know. So I don't know, like I'm Catholic, right? Okay.
Right.
But I have found in my life, I know people that are atheists that seem to be better Catholics.
Right.
There's no opinion or judgment on any of my fellows. But I think it's because we get set in the mob and we can't see outside of that.
This is amazing, because I was just talking to my mother about Catholicism, and she was asking, is Johnny Catholic? I said, I'm assuming he is, given his upbringing. But we had that very same discussion. I said, for me, it's come to a place where it's beyond just the name on a building or the name on your jersey. It's like, are you living the actual connection to that living Christ within yourself, or whatever label you use for it? But that's what determines whether or not we're in the real mob, the universal divine oneness that really connects us all.
Well, at a higher vibration that's very, it's uniting of it. It automatically puts me in tune with other people. I'm not arguing with it. When I'm in that state, which I try to do my best throughout the day, every day, most of the time I feel good about where I am, and it doesn't matter. Like, people don't seem to have a negative effect on me. But when I start moving to the lower vibration, like you're saying, start thinking these... Because when we get into a group when we were younger, remember, we'd first get into that group, whether it was sports or whatever your group was, the first feeling is my world got bigger.
Yes.
But,
exactly.
But it's good if you're like most well-adjusted people, whoever they are, who now enlarge beyond their group. But most of us kind of get stuck within the group, and we only think the way that group thinks, and it limits me. And then the worst part is when it becomes such a habit that I don't want to accept new ideas outside of that, because they seem threatening, so they must be wrong. And that is when I seal my fate. But the good news is, if you're like most people, when you get to that point, life becomes so unbearable because you're always trying to defend your opinion that you finally just drop the gloves and go, no mas. And then we end up surrendering to what really is, which is this higher vibration, the harmony, like you were saying in the beginning of the show, that God is the overall harmonizing force of love and good that's keeping our bodies, everything working. And we're a part of that.
Yeah.
And the only thing that gets me out of that is when I'm thinking these limited us versus them thinking. I mean, even belonging to a political party, at first, it's expansive. I'm part of something I believe in. But then if I become a warring part of a warring faction against the other party, political party, well, now I'm shrunk. I'm so powerless now.
Sometimes in my life, there were times when I was imprisoned by my pain.
Yes.
And then I meet a group of people that are friendly and that somehow my pain is relieved. That's a really good thing. But let's just say there's an agitation in that group. My basic human needs are for fellowship, friendship. I look at where I've been, isolated and all alone, and couldn't find my way. No one paid attention to me. All of a sudden, I'm finding a new life within this thing. I really can't distinguish because I need this.
Yeah.
And the energy tows me along. The right sometimes, and even very often the wrong way. I get angry, I'm hateful, and it closes in, and hell, these are my friends. These are my people.
I agree. When it's our people, that's when it's the easiest to get stuck in the mob. Like, because this isn't just organizations, it's friends, it's me and Daryl.
It's workplaces.
It's this room, if I let it be. Joel, what are you thinking?
I would say that, it's funny, because when I was going to university, I kind of had this debate when it came to getting into a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose not to, because I looked around in the news a lot of times. You have people that are really good people, and they get in a fraternity, and they do things that they would never do, and they hurt people that they would never hurt, because they are supported by a group. Okay. And it's like you were saying,
that's so true.
You know, you get into a group, and being in a group is good in some ways. You know, a group can accomplish a lot more than an individual usually. And it makes you feel good. You feel like you belong, just like you said. The problem is then when you have an idea that doesn't jive with the group's idea, you tend to suppress it because you want to. You want all the other stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's when the problem begins.
You want all the other stuff, and then if the group is doing something, and your mind is saying, "I don't want to do that," but it's so important to you to be in that group for all the positive reasons, you do something that you wouldn't normally do, or you think something that you wouldn't normally think, or you suppress a thought.
Yeah.
Is you, like you said.
Yeah, this is great, because this happens in families. Yeah. This happens everywhere. Everywhere.
In religious institutions, everywhere. Oh,
and look at the
schools.
Well, what about the best, businesses. The best worst example is Germany during the 30s. What became of that fraternity?
Yeah.
Because at first it seemed like a good thing. Hitler was on the cover of Time magazine in the 30s as the world's greatest thing since sliced bread.
The leader of the year, person of the year, man of the year.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here, I think the key is that I have to remember is these little groups are stepping stones that are here to help us become part of the big group, which is when I come from love, this is the best teaching, the things that Jesus brought to the table were love and forgiveness and faith as like the Trinity. Love, faith, and forgiveness. And when I come from love, everyone's on my team. I don't need to try to get and make or belong to or get guys in the group, you know, because Johnny and I belong to a group and we could think, oh, I'm going to go to this particular faction of this group that we know. Because there, they might have someone who could help me get a leg up in my career. But see, now that's coming from fear again, even within a group, because I'm trying to get something and I'm trying to manipulate and network under that great word network. But I can tell you from my own experience, that never worked in the long run. If anything, it gave me a little crumb that wasn't long lasting. But what always works and what helps me in my day is I remind myself, Daryl, when you come from love, everyone's on your team. Because the least likely people who end up to be the biggest blessings in my life come in the unexpected ways in places where most people, and I mean most people, the way the world teaches, the way business people teach, and the way my mind thinks, it would not come from. And that's why life starts becoming this fun adventure of, like you were saying about God created man, and man just meaning human, universally all humans, so he can experience love through us.
Yeah.
And if I remember, when I come from love, everyone's on my team. Because then anyone can be a blessing in our life when we come, because I'm allowing it. I'm not limiting myself to the group. It can only come through this place, this way. This is what the business books say, because that's a group. Or this is what my friend said. You got to shove and push and make phone calls. But if I just say, hell with it, I'm going to surrender to God. I'm just going to come from love. And you know what? Everyone's on my team. Everyone. The guy at the 7-Eleven, Johnny's on my team. You're on my team. And I don't have to try to say something to win you over to my team.
That's right.
Ultra open-mindedness.
Huh?
Ultra open-mindedness.
Yeah, and unconditional love.
Well, it's understanding principle, too. Because you said something I wrote down, which is you want all the other stuff.
Yeah.
By clinging to the group. And that is why the truth sets us free that we practice here, which is the other stuff doesn't come from them. It comes from God. It comes from a universal presence.
Yes.
Which is principle that can be relied on, that has no membership. We call it the non-member philosophy. I'll hang out with anyone, but I'm not signing my name on the dotted line to be a member of that group. I'll spend time.
Yeah.
And I'll learn, and we'll share the principles that we have in common and things, and I'll get the part, but I'm just not going to swallow the whole thing, which then causes me to compromise myself, which then cuts me off from the true source, which is the kingdom of heaven within.
Exactly.
Because God's network includes every single person.
There's also something to consider these days. What does love mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What is peace, your definition of peace? It may be different than mine. I find in groups and in today, the word love is very trivialized. It may extend to one's family, the closest people to them.
Right.
And I think in all the readings I've done in all the religions and practices, it says something to do with I have to love my enemy. Now, what does that mean to you? Because it may not mean the same thing to me. It's like, am I under this understanding of love where if it's going to hurt my family, I'm not obligated because I love them, but to help the rest of the world, I can't, to an extent, it might look like harming my family for the greater love and the greater good. How many people don't tell on stuff they know their family is doing?
Right.
That does not bring peace, but innocently, really like the word peace.
Right.
It's how I live and what it means to me today, because it doesn't mean that, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, not the peace of the world I give you.
Right.
The peace beyond the world. And I think it means there's a human limitation on love. There's a human limitation on forgiveness. There's a human limitation on how I treat an enemy. But in all the faiths I've seen, it's equal response.
Right. And all the faiths require us to
practice.
There
is no enemy.
We have to practice. Because practice. To tap into it on a regular basis. I love what you're saying.
Well, because it's like Ed had an experience on a phone call with his mom this morning, and it's, but by telling the truth from within,
right.
That's the setting, the peace for ourselves.
Yeah, to be able to express our true self.
Instead of panicking, are they going to like me anymore after this? And then saying it, you know what? It's like that guy, one of these famous old quotes from William Tell, or one of them, who said, when the king is saying, they're saying, look, you're going to go along. If you don't go along with us, we're going to chop off your head. And he goes, well, would you rather go? Well, I'd rather go to heaven by not agreeing to what you guys want me to do than go to hell because I do agree. Yeah. Meaning by keeping his peace and willing to stick to what he knew was right for him, but intuitively, he didn't care if he got his head lopped off because he was now in heaven, period.
Any increase in my consciousness, I cannot attest to me. And if I've been given a gift and other people don't choose to work towards that gift, they're not at fault. Because if it's a gift, then they're here. And for whatever reason, they're where they're at. I think that's where compassion extends itself. Like, I may have had to do a lot of things in my life to be able to have what I have in here.
Yes.
And I think anyone can do it. However, that's not a reality. And I can't blame them.
Yes.
How do I extend to them and those that don't?
Yeah.
The very gift I was giving.
Right.
Ed said a great interpretation of the quote from the Bible that goes along with this that I've been using lately. Why don't you just say it about forgive them?
Yeah, yeah, because I was thinking about the quote where it says, "Forgive." Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I've been tapping into the consciousness of who I truly am. So I realized it could also be said, and it's been working for me lately, forgive them for they know not who they are.
Yeah, that really helps. Oh,
that's good.
Yeah, like
you like it?
When I'm in that moment, what I mean by that is when I'm in this moment and I really know it, when you know you're connected to this unity, it's not judgmental, and you see the wonder of someone and what they're capable of and their possibilities, and maybe they're not align with that, and they're not living in that space. It's when I'm living in that space, for one, them not living in that space doesn't affect whether or not I'm in that space.
That's
which
true.
Makes it so much easier.
Yes.
And two, it's not a judgmental thing. It's just, okay, there. You can tell when someone's not ready. When I'm bubbling over with excitement about, wow, I discovered this stuff in someone else, it's almost to them, it sounds like I'm trying to make them let go of something they are, you know, and it's just like, it's all right. Just forgive them. They know not who they are in this moment.
Can I ask you a question? Not
yes,
coming
sir.
From that faith.
Yeah.
Is Jesus talking to God? Is he talking to God about us humans? Or is he talking to saying, this is what you should say to other humans, how you should treat other humans to us? You understand what I'm saying?
No, he's not telling us to do either one of those things.
Okay.
He's telling, it's.
I thought he was talking to his.
No.
Okay.
He is, well, this is my understanding. It seems to be the one that works
well,
the best.
What's the context of that quote?
The context of all of it is,
well, in that particular situation.
Well, I think I can clear up all of it if you let me just finish this idea, this overarching reality, that Jesus is not the great exception. That's just hearsay you've heard from other people, that he's this thing that you're imagining. Well,
okay.
That's the
Go
way,
ahead.
By the question you're saying, it seems that way.
Well, I'm trying to understand what he's saying.
Well, we
it's
don't.
His words,
well,
right?
Well, all I can base it on is this overall arcing idea that Jesus is not the great exception. He's the great example. He's the great teacher. And he's just teaching me how to use ideas of mind within myself that help me. When he says, what is that to, of thee? Come follow, you follow me, meaning you follow this good way that Johnny's talking about. You follow these good principles. We're talking about principles. He's not a man any bigger talking these lessons. For the most part, he's giving examples for us to go, holy cow, if I practice this manner of thinking within myself and this manner of being within myself, then I'm going to get healthy results in my life. Successful, peaceful relationships with my fellows, prosperity, good health, and all these things, all these ideas, they're nothing new. And even science is proving in the medical profession that all these lessons are advantageous to good health and good mental health.
That's true.
He was on the cross when he said it. Also, that's the Like, I think you were asking for like the...
Right.
He was on the cross.
He was on the cross criminals. And he was talking to, quote unquote, his father. And he was saying, forgive them, humanity, for they know not what they do.
But it's within himself.
Which is interesting to me, mm-hmm. because that means that that is an example that obviously he knows that God can forgive them.
Yeah, and he's telling his
and
own mind.
And that God judges because he's saying to forgive them.
But it's within his own mind. He's telling his mind, just like when he said, well, get behind me, okay. Satan. He's yeah. saying, it's not like there's a real Satan. Okay. It's
I thought that was tied to the whole forgiveness of the human race, and that was his whole point of being
well,
on
that's
Earth.
The hearsay portion of the equation.
Okay, I don't like that. It's not my faith.
No, but
well, that's, I'm trying to take that's once again, it depends what you define that as.
Yeah.
Like you just said, you called it hearsay, which is fine. Other religions said that, you know, other people say Jesus wasn't even nothing more than nothing. They don't even believe he existed nor performed miracles. So once again, what you're saying here is phenomenal. But you got to know that it's within what you're saying it was. Because I know a lot of people that don't feel that.
Yeah. And you know what? Then I don't have to...
I would
discuss it with them either.
Right.
It's always used within myself.
Yeah. And it
that sounds like we're wrapping up.
If we apply it, the results are the same.
Yes.
Well, the thing is too, like it's just how willing, because a lot of people are relying on the mob mentality to tell them what these things mean. And it's just a matter of how willing are we to go within ourselves and reflect on these things and trace the truth of where these teachings came from. Because Neville Goddard, who was a metaphysical teacher of these truths, he yeah. said, the father referred to here is your own imagination.
Yeah. Right.
That's what he said. And so he said, so when I take a look at that, that's something that I can apply is to tell the powerful. This is the thing, though, because imagination can sound trite, like, oh, it's yeah. just my imagination, until I realize my imagination is connected to the expression
yes.
of the divine and has a real effect mm-hmm. on my life. So when I talk to my, in the morning when I pray, Reverend Ike said, we never pray to God. We pray to our own subconscious mind to accept this truth because God is principle. It doesn't change.
Yes.
So we're praying. We're actually just massaging our own brain. So like what I take from that story, too, is what I'm practicing lately, I can only speak to that, is Father within me, my subconscious mind, my imagination. Forgive. They don't know what they're doing. Don't get caught up in that mob
yes.
mentality that's saying that this is not truth for me. Forgive them, because when I forgive them, I let go and I'm free to continue to express my own divinity.
Are you part of the them? See, for me, I'm still part of the them.
Yeah, that's my interpretation.
I'm still.
Well, there's
part
only
of the
one.
Them.
There's only one power. So when I pray, I unify, make sure that I recognize that I am. There's only one power, God. That power is Johnny. That power is Joel. That power
yeah,
is
we're
Daryl.
All connected
and that
to
power
it.
Is me.
I boy, yeah. I think the point is you should show people forgiveness, because a lot of times they're not doing it with any intention.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm
that's
with you.
Boiling it down to the basic.
There is no them. That's Reverend yeah. Michael was on our show, and he said, when we pray for others, we find that there are no others. We're all
right.
brothers. And
yeah.
that is, and for me, when I went to a spiritual psychology program, what I learned is I forgive myself for judging them as doing this thing.
Yes.
I'm always forgiving myself for the judgment.
All right.
And then that really has helps lubricate the forgiveness
process. Are we a mob within a subset of a mob within another right. subset of a mob?
Well, all I know is this. Going back to that anytime I'm feeling crucified, I start getting mad at who I perceive is crucifying me.
Oh, yes.
I know.
Anytime I'm back, I'm imagining
that's
myself being backed in the corner. Mm-hmm. So what do I have to do? What are my options? Fight back and lose? I fought back my whole life, and I lost. I saw my father die at 41 because he fought his way into an early grave.
Yeah.
But Jesus is giving whoever wrote this story, even if you want to believe in these factions of faith, which I could care less about a faith being a faction, but Let's just say someone wrote a fictional story about a man being crucified, and to himself, he's saying, I got to go deep now. I got to practice forgiveness, or that's what's really killing me here. What's really killing me in this. So I have to, like Ed say, I have to get my mind back into the harmony of the universe. And the harmony of the universe is not condemning people, no matter how bad I think the situation is. And throughout my life, I could tell you, situations where it seemed I was getting the short end of the stick, places where I ended up having to pay thousands of dollars unjustly for things, and I just said, you know what? Forgive them. I'm paying them. Mike Dugan used to say, how much is your serenity worth? And I'd say, more than $10,000. He goes, then pay them and forget about it. And I would do it, and what happens? Look at me today. I still have more than enough. We got to wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say this. When I practice this, when I leave these sessions, there's no more them.
Yeah.
There's only me loving everybody. That's all. That's
well, it was cheap. Anyway.
We got to wrap up. Because he'll charge us.
Yeah. All right. We have a little story here. It goes like this. Joel, Johnny, and another buddy were stranded on a desert island. They were amazed to find a magic lantern containing a genie who granted them each one wish. Their buddy wished he was off the island and back home. Joel got excited and wished the same. Johnny looked around and said,
I'm lonely. I wish my friends were back.
I like it.
They were
That's
back
good.
On the island after good. They no wished to be home.
And we're going to have Johnny back on because he's got a lot more to share.
Yes.
And we appreciate you guys taking the time to come into the studio. We love you guys.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And this is perfect. Yeah. We're going to sing this out. This is the whole crux of this episode. This is the theme. If it ain't bad.
Yeah, and if, oh.
Go ahead.
I thought it was, and if it's bad.
Oh, and if it's bad, don't let it get you down. You can take it. And if it hurts, don't let them see you cry. You can make it. Hold your head up. Whoa, hold your head up. Whoa, hold your head up. Whoa, hold your head high. Visit DarylandEd.com to find easy links to everything
Joel
we do.
Johnny, thank you for coming.
And if they stare, just let them burn their eyes on your moving. And if they shout, don't let it change a thing that you're doing. Hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up, whoa, hold your head up.
Rock on. Nice job.
Message, your message from
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.